Until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And a very good morning now to John Aaron, the state member for Lara. John, thanks for being on the show.
Good morning, Mitchell, and good morning to your listeners.
Well, what were your thoughts coming out of Saturday night? You were probably expecting, like most of us, that the Labor Party was going to come in and form government.
Look, firstly, I obviously respect democracy, and I want to congratulate Scott Morrison and the Liberal Party for attaining government. And, of course, I want to thank Bill Shorten for all the services that he's done and made to the Labor Party over the last 6 years as the leader of the opposition. It's a tough gig. And obviously now we'll look at how we go forward as a Labor Party and clearly have a look at what went wrong at the elections and hopefully come up with a policy position and a plan going forward that will be conducive to all Australians. Having said that, I think Victoria, we should be very proud as a Labor Party in Victoria, particularly when it comes to the results that we've achieved, and clearly Geelong, we've done really well. We look at the seat of Corio, Richard Miles has increased his margin, which is fantastic to see, and of course Libby Coker is leading at the moment with just over 51.5% of the vote, and 75% of the vote have been counted. And Dunkley has been won by the Labor Party, and Chisholm is obviously now right on the cusp of nobody knows if it's Labor or Liberal. So Victoria, we're very proud of the Labor Party of achieving so much in relation to the votes that have happened over the weekend. And Queensland is a bit different. Obviously, Queensland and Tasmania and WA were the areas where Labor lacked the vote. And can I just say, in terms of the $80 million expenditure for campaign by Clive Palmer and the United Australia Party, they did not get one person up. But what they did do is add value to the LNP, the Liberal National Party, in their campaign of negative ads. They just bombarded, whether it's social media or TV or newspapers, with anti-Labor ads. And that added for the chances of the Liberal National Party, and I'll be watching very carefully, even though he wasn't rewarded with a seat, but I'm sure the federal Liberal government will want to reward him in some way, and we'll be watching that very carefully.
What do you make of the media reports this morning that suggest that your friend Richard Miles could potentially be quite senior in the opposition, potentially the deputy leader, or may even go all the way?
Oh, look, I've always maintained he's a great friend of mine. He's my best friend in politics, of course, and I've always maintained that Richard is a very valuable person to Federal Labor and indeed the Labor Party overall. And, you know, he plays a significant role nationally in terms of the Labor Party, and certainly through the campaign he was very prominent in the media in relation to the messaging in relation to the campaign. So I'm not surprised at all. He would add value, obviously, a different perspective, a different view to the Labor Party nationally, and we'll just watch this space. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have so much talented people in Geelong, and we've literally put ourselves on the map in relation to having talent on both the front bench of the federal Labor Party and of course in the state as well. So we're very proud of that, and we keep producing the champions of politics in Geelong. And you know, people didn't believe some of the promises that were made by the Scott Morrison leading up to the election. They didn't believe that $2 billion was enough for the fast rail to Geelong, and that's why, you know, we've almost got a clean sweep in Geelong in relation to the Labor Party. They didn't believe in the southeast about the east-west link. We as a state government went to two elections rejecting east-west and won both of them convincingly because it's a dud project. $4 billion towards a project that doesn't stack up. They know our position as a state government. I mean, we've got so many projects on the go at the moment, and of course when you consider the huge agenda of infrastructure spend, we're investing in those areas that people voted us in for, which is obviously the Metro Tunnel, North East Link, Westgate Tunnel, and the Suburban Rail Loop, and we're going to get on with our job of building the infrastructure that that Victorians expect. And just on infrastructure, I think it's important for your listeners to understand that under the current government, in the last 6 years, basically, Victoria, even though we're one quarter of the population and we pay our fair share of the GST, we only get just over 7.5% of the infrastructure spend of the federal budget. Whereas under the previous Labor federal government, we used to receive over 25%. We're the fastest growing population in the nation. We're the strongest economy. That's why we've been screaming from the rooftops in terms of the state Labor government that we want our fair share, regardless of if it's Liberal or Labor. And we will continue with that. We want our fair share. We need the money where we believe, as a state government, the Victorians expect us to spend that money. And it's certainly not the East-West Link. It's $2 billion for a multi-billion dollar investment into the fast rail to Geelong is not going to cut it.
Can I ask about one of the promises you made, or the Labor Party made? This is federal Labor, and it was to fund GMHBA Stadium. Was it right for them to say that they wanted to fund the stadium almost at the expense of projects such as the Northern Arc?
Oh, look, these are different propositions. Can I just say that the investment into GMHBA Stadium is an economic one, as just as much it is about the confidence of our city. And we've done that as a state government because we understand the value of that stadium. You know, of course, it's the home of our wonderful, beloved Cats, who have 9 games there now. And of course, but it's also home to a lot of other events. We've got the T20 World Cup coming to Geelong in 2020. And of course, we've had other cricket matches at GMHBA. We've had rugby league, rugby union. We have obviously Melbourne Victory playing there. There are other events that happen there, and we intend to have a lot more events which generate a lot of jobs for the community. Let's not forget that. Every time there's a major event at GMHBA Stadium, it generates about $3 to $4 million in terms of the economy, and that's jobs for the North. I mean, these jobs have to be filled by people, and that's why the investment's made. And of course, there's the spin-off is a sense of excitement for the town, a sense of confidence for the town, and of course, along with that, inspiration for those codes of sports that their champions are playing on that field. We hope that it inspires people to get up and play the sports that they love and inspire them to be active and healthy. So it's a different proposition. And of course, we're all working on... And can I just go back to the margin? Richard Miles yep. increased his margin. And so people understand... Like, don't forget, now that there's a Scott Morrison government, there'll be $1 million less for Northern Bay secondary schools in the north. There'll be less money for TAFE. There'll be less money for education overall. We're shortchanged to hundreds of millions of dollars in education. We're shortchanged in our health in terms of over $600 to $700 million shortchanged in health. What we want is fairness in the distribution of the taxes federally of the GST that we pay. So all of these things combined mean that the North are actually worse off under this government than it would have been under the Labor government. There are worthy projects, but you know, like let's be frank about this. We've got Northern, of course, when you Bowen North, it's being constructed right now, over $34 million worth of investment, and that'll be finished by August and operational hopefully by the end of the year or early January for the people of the North to have access to healthcare that they've never had before. Now, let's put this into perspective. The complementary part of it, Northern Arc, we're all advocating for. There's no question of that. It's a council asset. It's a swimming pool. We want to, you know, enhance that area. We want to add value to Bowen Health North, which is being built on the site. And of course, both Richard and I will be advocating for that very important project. But everything in perspective, and that's what we need to focus in on, is making sure that it's in perspective and we don't get shortchanged by this federal government who's been re-elected again. And the North realised that. That's why Richard Miles increased his margin in the North. So he's over 60% of the two-party preferred. And so, look, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. The people of Geelong have worked this government out. They're they're not telling us the entire truth, and I think people read that, and that's why we have the results that we have in
Queensland. Are you saying the people in Queensland got fooled by the government?
Well, what I'm saying is that there are horses for courses, and the Adani and other factors in relation to some of the policy positions in Queensland, with particularly One Nation, with you know, Clive Palmer Party, the Conservatives, you know, it was a bombardment of campaigns down there, which is, you know, it doesn't wash with Victorians. We see through all that. We're the progressive state, and that's why we've had a great result for Labor, and we've seen that at last November's election with the state being re-elected for a second term, and we've seen it in the numbers in relation to the federal election. Even though there was a backward trend in terms of votes nationally, we've done quite well in Victoria. And I'm proud to say that. I think we're a little bit smarter in Victoria than other states. We understand some of the politics associated with the current federal government. And, you know, what happens now, Mitchell, of all of these young people who want a future? I've got grandkids. I'm sure that many of your listeners have children and grandchildren or great-grandchildren themselves. What about their future in terms of the environment? We have a Prime Minister that walks into Parliament with a lump of coal. Can you believe that? You know, can you believe the fact that the environmental investments that were intended to be made by the federal Labor, if they were elected, there will be a backward step in terms of the economy, a backward step in terms of our reputation worldwide as being, you know, dragging our knuckles in relation to environment, and of course a devastating effect if we don't take action now on climate change, particularly for areas like Geelong, who are coastal towns. And this is dramatic. This is now a turnaround. Watch out Medicare, watch out environment, and watch out obviously some of the other areas that they hone in on and will target going forward in their this term of government.
Can I just ask you, because we've got 3 minutes to go, the state budget, now that's clearly into focus. The Andrews government said we had to delay the state budget because we don't know who's going to form government. So obviously you're going to have to revise some of your budget, are you? That you've got this unexpected result of Scott Morrison, and the contention of the Andrews government is that there'll be less money coming to Victoria as a result.
Yes, we'll have to deal with this as we have been dealing with a Abbott government, a Turnbull government, a Morrison government. You know, we've copped it from all of those leaders in relation to not getting our fair share, and we'll continue to do our best as a state government to continue to be the strongest economy in the nation with jobs growth, and continue to be the fastest growing population and you know, we need to accommodate that, and the federal government need to readjust their investment into infrastructure, going from 7.5% to at least 25% of what we are in terms of the one quarter of the population that we are, and of course we expect that from the federal government.
Yeah, interesting times ahead. And Northern Futures, what's going to happen with that, do we think?
Well, as you know, and I think Richard mentioned this, Richard and I formed Northern Futures back in 2007 when obviously Ford announced that it would cut back in terms of employment, and the areas that are most devastated are the North when it comes to job losses, and now that Northern Futures is well and truly set up and it's a think tank, and I'm very proud, and so is Richard obviously, of being able to form such an organisation who's now a think tank. We will continue to invest in those things that we think that matter to the community, that make a difference to the community. Northern Futures is basically, you know, is something that I formed and Richard formed, and we will both pursue both state and federal governments in relation to funding for that very important organisation that does some great work in the North. And it is a role model for other areas of disadvantage, you know, in other parts of the state, indeed other parts of the nation. And I'm so proud to be associated with it. You know, just only a few months ago, I provided through my government $100,000, a bit of a top-up for them. Their funding models are different in some ways since when they were first started. What I will do is watch carefully of how what we need to fund, how we need to fund it, to make sure that that organisation...
John, we have to leave it there. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Mitchell.
Thank you, John Aaron, joining us there.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.